This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday. We've got a really fast-paced show for you today. We have a great show for you today. During the first half hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Alan Lansdowne. We're going to be talking about silver in healthcare and in medicine. Lots of controversy. There's been lots of discussion on the boards about silver, colloidal silver. We're going to get to the bottom of that. During the second half hour, we'll be speaking with Dr. Anil Nigram about a recently published study that indicates that even a single junk food meal can do damage to the arteries in your body. And we're going to discuss in depth the types of fats that are implicated, because as you know, I'm a big proponent of a high-fat diet. Not all fats are evil. And then during the second hour, we'll be joined by Adele Musa all the way from Munster, Germany, where we will perform the Subversity Sniff Test. When we do the Subversity Science Roundup, when we look at research in the news, we actually read the entire studies, not just little excerpts from the abstracts, and then try to sensationalize them, which is what the mainstream media does continuously. So let's get started with the discussion. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lansdowne.
Thank you.
First of all, Dr. Lansdowne, you are a honorary senior lecturer at the Department of Chemical Pathology, the Faculty of Medicine at the Imperial College of London. That's correct, right?
That is correct, yes.
Yes. Now, you said to me that you're retired right now, but for the past 25 years, you have spent a large portion of your time studying silver and how it has been applied in medicine and healthcare, correct?
That's correct, yes.
When did we first start using silver as a cure or as a tonic, if you will?
Silver was used back in the early 1900s in the form of silver nitrate, and has been around for a long, long time as an antiseptic. Now, this went on up until about 1930s when the colloidal silver products came on the scene. But later on, we had sulfadiazine come on the scene, and since then, we've had a number of other preparations, principally directed towards wound care.
Okay. Now, silver in the form of colloidal silver is consumed here in the United States. Do they do that with it as well in the UK?
I'm not too sure to what extent it's sold in this country, because it has not got legal authority.
Okay. So what is silver and these various preparations actually good for? I'm assuming that there is some good about silver.
The essential feature of silver is that the silver ion is a highly effective antibacterial and antifungal agent. And going back many, many years, there was the anecdotal story of the silver spoon, Charles Bull, the silver spoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where the silver spoon was supposed to keep that child healthy and pure. There's some evidence of that, but this is rather anecdotal, I think.
Well, and then also I read one time, a long time ago, that chalices, mugs, and the vessels that people drank out of was said to be made of silver because somehow it had some purifying effect on water and the beverages that were contained in it. Is there any anecdotal evidence that's true?
Oh, there's loads of evidence to that extent. In fact, I toured India several years ago. There's a massive urn in one of the big temples made of silver, where the emperor used to travel and carry his water in this silver urn. Used to carry the sacred water of the Ganges in a silver urn. There's evidence, too, that nobility back in the Middle Ages used to drink out of silver cups.
Okay. All right, so silver has been used topically to speed wound healing, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And it is effective at that, it seems. It did
highly effective.
Apparently there was a study done at the University in Syracuse, New York, one of the state universities of New York, where they actually showed that it kind of kickstarts the healing process, correct?
There's evidence for that. It actually has a cellular effect. It also has a very effective antibacterial, antifungal effect. And I've shown in my research that silver actually interacts and excites zinc in wound care. Now, of course, zinc is essential in wound healing.
Now, what about this notion about drinking colloidal silver? There's lots of parts per millionth concentrations out there, lots of different preparations, and people are consuming now large amounts of colloidal silver because it's said to do everything from jumpstart the immune system to cure disease. Any evidence that this approach is effective, anecdotally or scientifically?
I'm looking at a statement published this year by the National Center of Complementary and Alternative Medicine of the United States, which says colloidal silver can cause serious side effects, the most common being agaria, which I'll explain to you rather later. It has no proven effects and has not been vetted by the federal FDA for safety.
Well, now, and you
well,
that
know, says it all, really.
But you and I had a discussion off the air. The FDA is not the end all and be all because the FDA allows things on the market that hurt people and they hold back things that could help people. So aside from the FDA, you've spent a large portion of your career studying silver in healthcare. Is there any evidence that you see that colloidal silver may be beneficial for some ailments or some applications where there seems to be an emerging body of evidence at all?
One of the big problems we find with these colloidal silver preparations is we don't actually know what's in them. We don't know how much silver is there, we don't know how much is ionizing, and we don't know how much is effective within the gut or whatever other route is used. As a consequence, we find we're using a material which is liable to cause this discoloration of the skin. Now, what happens is that vast amounts of ionized silver entering the gut is absorbed into the bloodstream and is deposited in the skin, in the deeper parts of the skin, in the insoluble form, silver sulfide, in fact, and that is there in perpetuity. It will be there for the rest of your life. And I refer to a young lady in the United States, whose name should not be mentioned now, who started drinking colloidal silver when she was young. And as she grew older, so she became darker in complexion. She developed this blue-gray discoloration.
Algeria. Isn't it pronounced Algeria? Algeria?
That is Algeria.
Yeah, Argeria. Argeria, that's it.
And I've been in contact with a colleague in Cincinnati who was actually attending that lady and said there is no way we can get rid of this discoloration either by what they call dermabrasion, which is actually slicing off the surface of the skin.
Right.
It's there for the rest of the life.
I'm always amazed by how silver has the ability to migrate into the skin. I have to believe that it also settles into other parts of the body as well. Is there any evidence that a lot of metals collect in the brain? Does silver collect in the brain as well?
Yeah, strangely enough, you know, silver doesn't get into the brain.
Okay.
It doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. I did a paper on this a couple of years ago, and there is no evidence, clinical or experimental, that silver will enter the brain. It may well settle on the nerve endings, but it doesn't actually affect the nervous system.
Well, that may be a good thing, obviously, because you know, and one of my contentions has been if in fact some amount of silver in the body has a benefit, because I have understood for some time now as well that once the silver is deposited inside your body, you can't get rid of it. The body has no way of metabolizing it or excreting it. So if, in theory, if some amount of silver is actually protective, then you should only have to take it one time in your life because it's deposited there forever. You shouldn't have to take it day in and day out, ongoing, because your body doesn't flush it out. Is that a safe assumption?
That is fairly true. There is no oil preparation of silver licensed in any part of the world, to my knowledge. Silver is purely beneficial as a topical preparation in wound care, so forth. Now, in days gone by, it was used as a mouthwash or a means of clearing gastrointestinal infections and so forth. And that's where the problems began to arise. But used topically in wound dressings, it is completely and utterly safe.
Interesting.
Let me make clear to you, there is no way that inhalation, ingestion, or topical application of silver will in any way help harm your body. It'll cause your blue discoloration, but it won't kill you.
So it can be said that it is harmless, because obviously people have consumed large amounts. There's a guy that was in the newspaper many years ago who is a shade of royal blue as a result of his consumption of colloidal silver. And but obviously he's quite healthy. He has no other discernible symptoms or side effects other than this this blue-colored skin now.
Absolutely correct. I have written a lot on silver, and I have studied the toxicology of silver probably more than anybody else in the world. And I can tell you that I have not seen any evidence of occupational or environmental or therapeutic use of silver as a cause of fatality.
Okay, let's do this. We're going to take I'm sorry, go ahead.
But I was going to say, the discoloration of the skin may drive you mad.
Yes.
It has a psychological effect on you. And believe me, people feel a bit antisocial if they've got a delicate blue coloration of their skin.
I would imagine so. I would imagine so. I wonder if it also affects the biogenesis of vitamin D as a result of this sun. Let's do this. Let's hold that question. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. We're talking with Dr. Alan Lansdowne about the effects of silver and how silver has worked its way into the healthcare process of humans. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
9-1, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Regish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
Hello.
We're talking with Dr. Alan Lansdowne about silver in healthcare and medicine. Dr. Lansdowne, you think there's an effect when someone gets Argyria? Do you think that there is a change in the biogenesis of certain hormones and components of skin? I mean, like vitamin D and the exposure to sun.
No evidence of this at all. No evidence of this at all.
Well, that's good to know. So
you
it's just
see, these substances which are deposited in the skin, silver sulfide and silver selenide, they are completely inert. They cause a nasty discoloration. But no other effects to my knowledge.
Is there any evidence that in our ancestral diets, before so much was changed about the landscape and agricultural processes, that we consumed silver as a trace mineral?
Well, there was an article which I read in the American press some years ago saying that there are certain Americans who are silver deficient in their bodies. This, I'm afraid, is complete rubbish. Silver has no nutritional benefit whatsoever. And under normal circumstances, very minute amounts of silver you consume in your food will go straight through you without any effect at all.
Then why doesn't some of these silver preparations go straight through us, these colloidal silver preparations?
It's because they're very highly ionized. You see, the silver dissolves in water, and in that capacity, it's absorbed through the gut. The sort of silver, minute silver particles you get in your food, so low, the chances of any adverse effect is absolutely minimal.
What about silver's ability to act as an antiviral? Is there any evidence that that is accurate? A lot of people think that it's better than vaccines.
I've come across one or two claims, but really, it's not really a viable prospect. I think the evidence is still very, very slender.
So
it's very good against virus, against bacteria and fungi. Staphylococcus, Pseudomonas, nasty things you get in burns which can kill you. And silver is very effective there.
What about the silver that we're exposed to in some of the water purification? Granular activated carbon filters were all the rage back in the late 80s, early 90s, and still today, which is an impregnated form of carbon, and it's impregnated with silver. And silver is thought to have some sort of purification effects on that. But doesn't some of it leach out into the water?
Yes, right. Silver's been used in water purification for many, many years. And in fact, in the earlier part of the last century, a substance called catadine came on the scene. Now, there's a company who's actually taken that as a patented name. I'm not actually sure what the composition of this stuff is, but it has been highly effective. Now, another aspect of silver in water treatment is what they call the silver-copper filters. These were introduced in a hospital hot water system several years ago in an attempt to cope with this Legionnaire's disease.
Ah.
And they were actually very effective. And they're still used very widely, certainly in UK.
Do you think that there's any leaching of the silver into the water as a result of this?
A small amount, but it's not in any metabolizable form. There's no evidence that this causes any adverse human effect.
There's a chapter in your book, and by the way, Dr. Lansdowne has a great book, and it's really a book designed for clinicians. It's a textbook called Silver in Healthcare. It's antimicrobial efficacy and safety and use. And it's available at Amazon.com. And it's a very in-depth study into the science, and not obscured by hyperbole and emotional investment in colloidal silver. Because what I've found is many of the people who sell these silver preparations, they endorse it as doing everything from curing AIDS to curing cancer.
But
when you detach yourself from the emotional connection and you look at silver and the science that is available, it's clear that it doesn't do a lot of the things that it's claimed to do. But what about, there's a chapter in your book that piqued my interest, cardiovascular effects, heart valves, and stents. How does silver affect this particular topic?
Because blood-borne infections can be quite harmful to you, lethal. Several years ago, an American company, which I can't remember now, introduced this silver thread cuff into this heart valve. But the heart valve didn't last very long because patients were dying. And it was not to do with the silver, but due to the design of the heart valve. So there was no adverse effect of the silver whatsoever. I don't know to what extent the silver was effective in reducing the local infection there, but it really didn't get far enough to have any useful clinical trials.
Is there any evidence, in your humble opinion? Obviously, silver is, I guess, classified as harmless, as you pointed out, that even these people who consume so much colloidal silver that their skin turns blue, they don't really develop any associated disease, illness, or disease state or pathology as a result of the silver. So would you lean on the side that there are people out there who claim that colloidal silver has helped them? And it may be true, obviously. So would you say...
A lot of claims are made, but all I can say is that consuming this colloidal silver, it has two principal effects: the discoloration of the skin, and ladies that consume this stuff, they become real dark-eyed babies because silver deposits in the eye, in the retina of the eye, and you get a nice black eye. And I've got one or two pictures from a colleague in Cincinnati showing just that effect.
Really? And does that occur even before the argyria occurs?
Probably so, yes. It's quite a sensitive means of testing for argyris, early. They call it argyrosis, but I mean you can call the same as argyris, the same syndrome.
But it's just the iris of the eye that changes colors, you're saying?
Yeah.
And it actually gets dark.
Sorry, yes?
Over what period of time does this happen when women use colloidal silver?
I have no idea. I mean, in most cases I've read, it's been a long period of taking the colloidal silver. But, of course, once it's there, it tends to build up. The other thing I should mention is that once this colloidal silver is in the bloodstream, in areas which are affected by light, exposed to light, that causes the deposition of the silver in the skin.
Interesting.
So you will find, you see, in areas underneath your shirt, it won't discolor so much. But your hands, your face, which are exposed to light, they develop a nice blue-gray discoloration.
Isn't that interesting? And the melanocortin complex works similarly. People who are exposed to sunlight, there is a greater degree of melanin and an activatable melanin, which should be different than just melanin in general. This is seen in people who use the peptide melanotan, which was designed by Arizona State University as a prophylactic to prevent skin cancer in fair-skinned people. When they use melanotan, their face and back of their hands, which are typically exposed to sun at a greater degree, change colors first before the rest of the body. It's interesting.
Yeah. There's no evidence that silver interacts with melanocytes or the coloration of the skin in that respect. Several years ago, somebody thought that by putting silver on the skin, it increased the melanocyte activity, but there's no truth on that.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of the interview. In your opinion, colloidal silver ingested, regardless of particle size, because there's a big debate that, you know, what size of the particles makes the difference, is not necessarily going to hurt you, but may not do anything good for you.
It won't hurt you. There's no question of silver in the body doing anything detrimental, whether you have it as an implant or whether you have it as a topical preparation, or even if you're stupid enough to take it internally in the form of an antiseptic, it won't kill you. It might not make you feel too good if you look discolored, but that's the risk you take.
Okay, and then silver as a topical, there is evidence that it speeds wound healing.
Silver in wound care is highly effective, and there are many preparations available, both your side of the Atlantic and this side, and many companies are making a lot of money.
Okay.
But they are highly effective wound dressings, but they're not based on colloidal silver.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Lansdowne, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know it's evening there in the UK. Thank you so much for coming on Superhuman Radio and speaking about this subject.
It's been a great pleasure.
Okay, take care.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Lansdowne's book, for those of you who want to learn more about silver in medicine, is called Silver in Healthcare. It's Antimicrobial Efficacy and Safety in Use. This is a hard-covered book. It's designed to be a school book for doctors. It's $195. It's not cheap, but you can get it at Amazon.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Alan Nigrum on, and we're going to talk about his recent research into fast food and how it affects the arteries. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to Superhuman.com. WMRadio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Buy one, get one free of either the AgeForce Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today while supplies last.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is Dr. Anil Nigam, and he is with the Epic Center, associated with the Montreal Heart Institute at the University of Montreal. How you doing, Dr. Nigam?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously, this research that you did is not counterintuitive. We know that fast food or junk food is bad for us. But describe the design of this study that you performed.
So basically what we did is, I just want to start by saying, I mean, there's quite a bit of data out there showing that a Western-type diet is not good for the heart. And when I say a Western-type diet, I'm talking about what we eat and also how we eat it. So a Western-type diet traditionally involves a diet that's rich in processed or transformed foods.
Yes, yes. And you know what? And I just want to interject something here. The
sure.
modern Western diet yeah. is what we need to focus on, because the ancestral Western diet was very, very different. But the modern Western diet, absolutely, you are 100% spot on. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. So so there is a lot of data in the literature showing that people who consume such a diet, and the other thing I was going to mention is the meal portions also are much bigger.
Yes.
And so we spend a lot more time, and we snack more often, and that means that more of the time we're in what's called the postprandial state. We're in the state after we've eaten.
Right.
And the data shows that that is particularly bad for your arteries. And so the study we did was a mechanistic study. So there's this epidemiological data showing that if you people who eat modern Western type diet have a higher risk of developing heart disease. Now people previously had looked at what if you eat one junk food meal simply, can that have effects on your arteries? So that has been done already, and that also those studies show that indeed In the hours after you eat a junk food meal, which is particularly rich in saturated fat and trans fats, it has an effect on your arteries, a toxic effect on your arteries.
And this is exemplified by the arterial elasticity, correct?
What it's called is the arterial dilatation in response to a stimulus, and I can get into that more.
Yes, please.
The way we measure if the meal has an effect on the arteries is to do what's called an ultrasound of your brachial artery. So the brachial artery is found in the elbow crease. And what we do is we inflate a blood pressure cuff on the upper arm for 5 minutes, and this to above the blood pressure. So it actually blocks circulation in that artery for
right.
5 minutes.
Occlusion. Okay.
And certainly in the forearm during this time is needing nutrients and oxygen and starts releasing these chemicals into the bloodstream to try and compensate. And when we release the blood pressure cuff after 5 minutes, normally what's supposed to happen is there's supposed to be a dilatation of the artery in your elbow crease to compensate and to increase blood flow to the forearm, which was missing oxygen and nutrients.
Okay.
So that's a normal response. After you, when you release the blood pressure cuff, normally that artery is supposed to dilate by approximately 10%. And we know that when it does not dilate normally, if it dilates at 7% or less, it actually is consistent with having a higher risk of developing heart problems later on in life.
Hmm.
And what it's telling us is that the artery is dysfunctional. And people have looked to see whether that was associated with a higher risk of what's coronary heart disease or blockages in the arteries.
Right.
And there is. So we know that if you have what's called endothelial dysfunction, so the artery doesn't dilate properly, we know that long term your arteries aren't working properly and you have a higher risk of developing heart disease, basically.
Okay.
So that's how we measure it. So we took 28 healthy males who had absolutely no cardiovascular risk factors, and we gave them two test meals, basically. So we gave them a typical junk food meal. So it's a typical fast food breakfast meal.
Was it cooked according to the way these fast food restaurants cook it? That same type of trans fat oils were used to fry things and so on?
Sure. Actually, we bought it commercially prepared.
You can't. So I'm sure you can't say where you bought it, right?
I don't want to. I don't want to be sued by the company.
No, I know. I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure you don't want to say, but that's the best. You just walk in and buy a couple and let's say.
Exactly.
Okay.
We buy it and then we bring it to the individual who's going to do the test. And that's how tasty. So the individuals had to have this junk food meal. And then between 1 and 4 weeks later, we gave them a meal containing healthy fat, so what we described as a Mediterranean meal. So the Mediterranean diet, in contrast to the modern Western type diet, is actually associated with a lower risk of heart disease. So, but no one had ever looked at whether if you eat a healthy meal, does it have a good influence on your arteries? Is there no effect? So when we set out to do the study, we said, okay, we know that the junk food meal will have a bad effect based on previous studies that had been done. And
right.
We were conservative. We said, okay, the good meal will have a neutral effect on our arteries. So that's what we did. And so these individuals were given the meals, and we measured the endothelial function, obviously, before they got the meal and then 2 and 4 hours later. And based on previous studies, endothelial function is worse at the four-hour point, and then it gets better afterwards. So that's what we did. And actually, what we found is that, indeed, once again, the junk food meal had a bad effect on the artery, whereas the Mediterranean meal had a neutral effect. And obviously, the two meals had to be matched. So they were matched for the same number of calories,
an amount of fat,
overall amount of total fat,
right,
protein, and so on. So what we did is we varied the fat content. So obviously the Mediterranean meal had much less saturated fat, had much more polyunsaturated fatty acids, and had more had omega-3 fatty acids. The junk food meal had no omega-3 fatty acids. I must say, you mentioned trans fats before. The junk food meals, now they don't contain trans fats, at least the ones.
Wait a minute, Dr. Nigam.
Sure.
The FDA is very skillful on how it allows its clients to market things. Everything out there that had trans fats before still has trans fats in it, but now it's less than 1 gram per serving, so they can say zero. No one uses a serving. A serving is a tablespoonful. So what happens is, while there's quote-unquote zero trans fats in a lot of these fast food fats that they're using to prepare foods, that's only in a tablespoon, but they use much more than a tablespoon, and you end up with a lot more than a tablespoon sopping into your food. So there still are trans fats here in the United States. It's just that we don't know about it any longer.
Okay, I will say that, I mean, cooking, I mean, obviously there's been a big outcry about the use of trans fats.
Yes.
And it's actually, it's been more in the States than in Canada, actually. I mean, these fast food restaurants have changed their cooking tech. They don't use shortening
again.
For French fries, so they're using vegetable oils, basically non-hydrogenated vegetables oil.
Right.
So that was a major source also of the trans fats. So I mean, it has come
down. Definitely gotten better. I'm not debating you, but what I am saying is there's still trans fats in these foods, just not as much as there was before. But obviously this acute response that we see after a bad meal, let's just say a bad meal, a junk food meal, has been anecdotally linked to people who have heart attacks right after having a really big, crappy meal, and they end up going to the hospital. So this acute response by the endothelial wall, combined with, you know, the blood thickening and even the presence of some plaque causing a stenosis, is probably the reason why a lot of people end up in the emergency room right after having one of these high, crappy fat meal meals. Isn't that true?
Potentially. I've never seen anyone trying to study on it to see if you eat a copious junk meal versus a copious good meal, whether it changes the difference in the risk of having a heart attack is different. But I mean, the point is well taken.
Yeah, yeah.
So in theory, if the meal has a toxic effect on the artery in your arm, it could potentially have a toxic effect almost immediately on the arteries in your heart.
Okay, now, we have to take a commercial break, but when we come back, I want to talk briefly about saturated fats just for a second, because as you may well know, amongst the ancestral diet community, the paleo diet community, which is having a great impact on health in the United States, at least, there is still a favorite saturated fat in the types of like coconut oil and so on, and they're becoming very popular and being consumed. I want to know if you distinguish a difference between these fats. We're talking with Dr. Anil Nigam, and we're talking about how a single junk food meal affects and potentially damages your arteries right after the meal. And this is really important stuff. For those of you who are still breaking down and eating a crummy meal at, you know, a fast food restaurant, you really need to cut that out. It's just not good, period. End of story. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listen clearly now.
Upside down.
Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relexin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Saúde Poeta. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Adele Musa will join us all the way from Munster, Germany, to perform the Subversity Sniff Test on Science in the News. Right now we're talking with Dr. Anil Nigam about his recent research into a single junk food meal damages your arteries. Okay, so do we distinguish between different types of saturated fats, Dr. Nigam, when we talk about this sort of thing, or are you lumping them all together?
No, I think it's important to distinguish them, and the distinction has to be between vegetable sources of saturated fat and animal sources. Most of the data actually shows that it's the animal saturated fat that's particularly harmful to the arteries. There is epidemiological data from areas where there is, for example, a high consumption of coconut oil, showing that it actually does not necessarily have an impact on cardiovascular risk.
Right.
Certain areas of India, for example, in southern India, where quite a bit is consumed. Obviously, there's saturated some in different kinds of vegetables, avocados, even some nuts. So, and if you look at most of the studies, the epidemiological studies, consumption of those products is not associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. So I think the distinction has to be made between animal and vegetable sources of saturated fats.
Well, and now I'm going to give you a different aspect of animal fats, too, because this, remember, I keep focusing on the modern Western diet, because we had a diet here. If you look at the the early 1800s, late 1700s, the diet started to change in the United States. The 1850s forward, it really just changed completely. And the biggest thing that changed on the animal husbandry side was the use of artificial feeds. When you eat the beef that comes from a cow that has grazed on grass its entire life, like a ruminant animal is supposed to, you find that these animals have a much higher degree of omega-3 fatty acids to omega-6 fatty acids, and much more complementary fats to go with that. Even their saturated fats tend to not be the types that cause the inflammatory response that we see that bad saturated fats do. Now, you fast forward to the modern days of animal husbandry, where these animals are eating corn, soy, and grains. They have such low levels of infectious disease that they have to be given subclinical doses of antibiotics. These are sick animals. And subsequently, sick animals, when you consume them, you get a lot of the byproducts that you don't normally get from healthy animals that also lead to disease in the person who's eating them. So I hope that science starts to look back and go, well, wait a minute. How did we get here if these animal fats are so bad, considering that there was a period of our evolutionary process where the cornerstone of our diet was animals and their fats? One only need look at the Inuit to see the holes in the theory that animal fats are bad for you. So something else must be going on here. And when you start to trace forward and look at when animals went from having the natural diet that nature intended them to have to having the artificial diets that were more beneficial for the animal husbandry industry, that's when animal fats became bad for us. And so I'm planting this seed in your head because I hope that I can. There was a gentleman who came on my show a few months ago talking about baby formulas. And I inundated him with research, valid research provided to me by the genius of Adele Musa in Germany, who's a contributor to the show, as showing that the benefits of unpasteurized milk from cows that eat grass that are not inoculated with antibiotics and other things. And he has changed the direction of his research, and he is now looking at he recommends to the formula industry the path that they should take. And I hope that you will think about this too. Animal fats are not the villain. It is the modern animal fats from animals raised on an artificial diet in an artificial environment that is poisoning us.
I would agree with a lot of what you've said. I think I agree that the current animal husbandry system, with the amount of hormones and antibiotics they receive, has a lot of different effects on the animals, and it's hard to sort out.
Yes.
What is causing what exactly? And I mean, with respect to saturated fat, these animals are much fatter also than the leaner animals. I mean, even when you're talking about the paleo diet before, I mean, those animals were so. I mean, we used to eat extremely lean meat.
Yes.
And we didn't have the problems we have now.
And I point to a tactic used by the beef industry. The last 3 to 6 weeks of a cow's life, they feed it nothing but corn. It gains 3 pounds of fat per day. So when you look at these, when you go, oh my gosh, these are the things that are leading to disease. We have to stop producing animals this way. We need to return to diets that more resemble what we evolved under ancestrally. And then we find out, because, you know, and I've talked about him so many times, but Dr. Paul Dudley White, the man who co-founded the American Heart Association, he wrote a position paper in the 30s decrying the introduction of vegetable oil, especially Crisco, which was the first hydrogenated oil. And he also at that time was decrying its combination with the high intake of sugars. Back then, it was a fraction of what we eat today. And he laid at the doorstep of these two components all of the emerging heart disease that had not even existed in the late 1800s.
That's right.
So we were eating lots of tallow. We were frying our bacon in lard, and they didn't have heart disease back then. So, you know, again, I am not accredited. I have no letters after my name, so I can say stupid things and no one's going to threaten to take my license away from me. But when I apply my critical thinking skills, I have to say to myself, well, how did we get through these thousands of years eating these things and not have these diseases? But now when we eat them, they give us diseases, and that's because those things have changed.
That's right.
They have changed.
So, I mean, one question is how to find sources of lean meat. I mean, there are sources. So people can switch their meat. Buffalo meat is a really lean source of red meat.
Yes.
As is
grass-fed beef. I mean, you need to be aware that we promote on this show and have done so for almost 8 years. Developing a relationship with a family farm in your area and or farmers markets. And my audience buys, I would venture to say that 80% of my audience buys exclusively grass-fed beef from a variety of different sources, locally sourced. And we eat lean beef, but the fat that is in our beef, like when I get grass-fed beef, the fat is yellow. It's yellow because there's a higher degree of beta-carotene in it because these cows are eating grass. It's not that white fat that everybody looks for when they go to Morton's or something like that, you know?
I mean, it's a big difference. I would still not eat too much of it, though.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I've actually had one of those plaque scans back in 2007 when we did a show about that. And my arteries are pretty darn clear, and I eat a copious amount of beef and coconut oil, by the way. I start my day with coconut oil and finish it. So there you go. But
The coconut oil is protecting you.
Yeah. Well, also, I do eat a lot of omega-3s. I get a lot of omega-3s from a variety of areas. And I watch my inflammatory markers because I think that's where the magic is. When it comes to plaque buildup, you know, I don't believe that cholesterol is the culprit. I believe that cholesterol is the innocent bystander, that inflammation beckons cholesterol to deposit itself in the lining of the arteries. And if you can maintain your inflammatory markers down and inflammation down, then cholesterol is not the culprit.
Well, that's a good point, actually, because if you look at different areas of the world, cholesterol levels do not necessarily correlate with your risk of having heart disease, particularly in areas where a lot of polyunsaturated fatty acids are consumed and where there's not too much saturated fat consumption. So in the Orient, for example, and in Japan, if you look at the data, cholesterol levels correlate extremely poorly with the risk of having heart disease. So that just goes to show that diet has a more important impact. It's only when we start changing our diet towards more of a modern Western diet that then cholesterol levels become important.
Yeah, there was a great study done by the University of Hawaii called the Hawaii Study, where they said 65 years and up, they looked at individuals. The individuals with the highest cholesterol levels fared the best as they aged. And you know, there's so much emerging research now that shows that Dr. Ansel Keys, while he was well-meaning, may have kind of missed the boat in his small population studies by not correcting for things like diabetes, not correcting for tobacco use, not correcting for a host of things, and just saying, look, it's cholesterol, and it's not. So, no, I agree. Look, I love what you're doing. You're right. We need people not to turn to junk food. People can prepare their own meals and bring them with them to work, to school, whatever the case may be. And I applaud both what your research, but also your sensibility that you displayed on the show today, saying that, you know, not all saturated fat is bad. The saturated fat that they're using in these fast food restaurants happens to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate. Listen, Dr.
Can I just say something?
Please, of course.
I just wanted to say that we're some of the poor doctors in medicine, in the sense that research on nutrition and exercise gets almost no funding in either country, and so much money is spent by pharmaceutical companies to show the benefits of their medication, which in the end, it's to show that one particular medicine reduces your risk of having another heart attack by 0.1%. And it's unfortunate that not more money is being spent. So I encourage the listeners to try and get in touch with their local governments and to try and change the way that research into preventative measures is funded.
That's a really good point. In fact, we should do a show on that how people can take action, because you're right on the money here. You know, Hippocrates said it best. His second edict was, let food be thy medicine and medicine be food. He knew back then that there was a lot more to nutrition than just satiety. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being on the show. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Adele Musso all the way from Munster, Germany, as we perform the Subversity Sniff Test to Science in the News. You're getting ready to listen to the Subversity Science Roundup. Bananas. Sit tight. Bananas. 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 Bananas.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Buy one, get one free of either the AgeForce Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today while supplies last.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Regish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
It's your boy, DJ Grandmaster Flash, first DJ to make the turntables an instrument. And I want to say welcome you and yours to my DJ set on DJ Hero. Let's go, baby, let's go!
That's a lot to say.
Suckers!
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Are you ready for the Subversity Science Roundup brought to you by Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com, where all the great minds are built at Subversity.com. How you doing, Adele?
I'm doing fine. I hope you too.
Good. Very good. Very good. Okay, so I am looking at some research that you sent to me. The first thing we're going to talk about right now is aspartame. A lot of people are confused about aspartame. Some people say it's harmless. It's nonsense, all the science out there. Other people say it's terrible for you. It causes brain cancer, brain tumors. What does this recent research point to?
Well, actually, I've been one of those people who have been very skeptical about the research that was out there hitherto, because in most cases, you see those rodent studies where they fed the poor critters aspartame at a level that would be equivalent to a whole truckload of Diet Coke. So this was pretty unrealistic. And then they found that this caused brain cancer. The question always was, how significant is this in a context where you're drinking maybe a couple of glasses of Diet Coke a day, or even one or two bottles a day? But there's been a recent study has been published coming from India, and I think this will make it pretty difficult for this study to even be recognized by the public. But what they did was quite intriguing, because the scientists argued that in previous studies, the researchers actually overlooked a very important fact. They did argue that the main effect or the main mechanism by which aspartame exerts its toxic effect on the human brain is by its metabolism to methanol. And what they did overlook, however, is that compared to primates and humans, rats or rodents and other small critters like that, they metabolize aspartame, or they metabolize methanol, in a very different way, and much, much faster. So their livers are able to clear the methanol from their bodies at a very high rate compared to human beings.
So I see a new supplement out there. If we can get desiccated rat and mouse liver and sell it to people and tell them they can drink more, they'll be able to clear more alcohol out of their bloodstream. How about that?
I don't think this will work, because we have alcohol dehydrogenase to metabolize it, and the advantage of the rodents is actually that they have not got a specialized enzyme.
Ah.
They do this with the catalyzed enzyme. We do have this as well, but ours doesn't do the job. So the supplementation would not really work. And the clearance is interestingly rate limited by folate, or rather active folate, which is mature heterotidofolate.
Right.
And the researchers in their current study, they tried to make a better model out of their rodents by administering them a small amount of a certain drug, which will reduce the folic acid levels and will therefore hamper or slow down the clearance of methanol. And by doing that, they were able to use what would be the human equivalent of 12.2 milligrams per kilogram. And this is roughly 1 gram of aspartame per day. Now, this sounds already pretty much, because we all know that aspartame is damn sweet. But if you do the calculation, you will see that one bottle of Diet Coke, of the classic one, not of the black one, contains half of that daily dose. So if you are a person who consumes two 1 liter bottles of Diet Coke every day, you are already above this threshold which was administered to the rodents and did actually lead to profound increases in the methanol levels. And the chronic increase in methanol, in turn, precipitated the development of brain cancer in those rodents. And so if we assume that this model is appropriate, and it appears at least to me to be more appropriate than the standard rodent model, then there is more to it than previous studies have suggested in terms of aspartame's potential toxic effects, not just on the brain, but also on the liver. So it is therefore not really, or it would not be surprising if taking, of course, a folate, because you would deplete your folate levels due to the chronic methanol exposition, and other supplements like melatonin and N-acetylcysteine, which have been shown to protect the liver against methanol, if you still believe that you really need to get your daily dose of aspartame.
Now, did you consume diet soda when you felt that the science wasn't really valid because of the large amounts needed in order to see these effects. Were you a fan of like diet soda, aspartame, and stuff like that?
No, I do not dig the taste of the standard diet Coke. Luckily, okay. I never really liked it, but I drink the occasional of the new ones, where not because there is less aspartame in it, but because it tastes good. And just when I'm out and I'm drinking a glass of that, but I'm not making it the staple. I haven't been making it the staple of my diet, and I'm usually just drinking plain water day in and day out, and maybe some teas, but otherwise no sweetened beverages. So this has not really been a problem for me. But I know of a friend who has been drinking really tons of this stuff because he needs it, or he needed it in order to lose weight. He has this sort of sweet taste, and he felt that he could satisfy it by drinking Diet Coke. And I remember that he had had strangely elevated liver enzyme levels.
Mm.
And actually, at that time, I thought that was due to the harsh diet combined with exercise, because especially if you are ingesting a high-protein diet and doing lots of exercise, you can often see that you will have elevated ALT and
right.
AST levels.
Right.
And so they were not exorbitantly high, but in terms of what doctors consider liver damage, it almost bordered that. When you did a really strenuous workout, you can see those enzyme levels even when you're not dieting, right on the day after. But for him, it even persisted when he did not work out, because that was my first suggestion: take a week off and get the levels checked again. They were better, but they were not really back to the normal range. And looking back, I'm now thinking maybe it has something to do with the aspartame,
right?
But cannot really be sure. And we do have some studies in human beings, obviously epidemiological nature, which are really debated or highly debated, especially by those who have conducted the previous rodent studies. And there's one specific study I've dug up in the context of this one in order to check whether there are any real significant human studies that would either complement or contradict this results. And there was an interesting comment in one of the following issues of the journal where the study was originally published in, which criticized this epidemiological study for a few points. The most important of ones were actually that they took people aged 50, I believe, and only asked them about their aspartame consumption in the last year. And interestingly, they found that only 5% or so of their subjects even regularly consumed aspartame-containing beverages. And so the amount or the relation of the people in the non-consumers group to the number of the people in the consumers group was so low that the study, despite having adequate power, lost its power, because you did not have the right relation of users versus non-users. And interestingly, when they picked the subjects, they also excluded everyone with family or personal history of cancer.
Huh.
And this is a very important point here, because scientists who read this new study will always say, well, they used those with the rats, which are specifically prone to develop cancer. And maybe it is even true that for most of us, maybe aspartame is not really a problem. But for those few unlucky people who are already susceptible to developing this or other kind of cancers, it could be the last straw which breaks the camel's neck. And in that case, it would really be important to know whether this is a real threat or whether it is not. And maybe I can remind everyone of a study I've posted a couple of weeks ago that shows that we know actually very little about aspartame in a very different context. When you ingest it during a workout combined with a sugary drink, it will blunt the insulin response.
Right, right.
And this was pretty awkward, and actually the first study showing this. And the scientists said they would do a follow-up study, but as we know, it's difficult to find funding, just as your previous guest just said, and it takes the time for the study to be done, and then you will have to find a journal to publish it, you will have to find an editor to accept the study, and you will have to go through all the processes. So even if the study has already been done yet, it's about 6 months to go in some cases until we see the paper finally being available to read.
Right. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Adele Moussa, the brilliant Adele Moussa, author of Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. I'm convinced that Adele has clones because no one can put out the volume and the content that he puts out so brilliantly day in and day out. If you've never been to Subversity.com, what are you waiting for? We'll be right back with more Subversity Science Roundup on Superhuman Radio. AnaboliqMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnaboliqMinds.com today and get into the action. AnaboliqMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Subversity Science Roundup, where Adele Moussa applies the sniff test to science in the news. And keep in mind, unlike the other talking heads out there, Adele actually reads the entire study and understands it. He doesn't just read from an abstract or a press release, which makes us very, very different than anything else you'll find out there. Okay, so Adele, let's continue on with artificial sweetness for a second. You have another research paper here.
Yeah, and it's pertaining to the topic I get the most questions on. Actually, I'm not so often asked about the potential toxic effects, but everybody wants to know whether it helps or hinders weight loss and whether they produce an insulin spike. And to answer the first question, the only artificial sweetener I have found research on that really seems to suggest that it can produce a small insulin spike is acetylcholine K. And the scientists speculate that this is not so much due to sweetness, but rather to its potassium content, and it only works if you ingest it with carbohydrates. So on its own, it's also benign, at least in terms of insulin or increases in glucose.
Interesting.
But still, there has been published a new study from a Brazilian university where the scientists once again tried to test whether replacing regular sugar in yogurt with aspartame or saccharin would actually help or would induce a greater weight gain or a smaller weight gain in rats. And they were clearly able to show that with the same caloric intake, the rodents consuming the saccharin and aspartame sweetened yogurts gained more weight. The only factor that's in there, and I think this is also much greater importance when you consider the question: will an artificial sweetener, what kind of artificial sweetener, does not matter in this case. This would probably also be the case for stevia. Will it help me or won't it help me? It depends on whether it will help you to avoid the bad foods and eat the better foods. Because if you take a closer look at the study and do not just rely on the abstract, you will find that there was another major difference, and this is that the rodents who got the artificial sweetened yogurt, they didn't like it. They didn't eat so much of the yogurt. And in consequence, they ate more of the standard rodent chow, of which we know that it's full of all sorts of not really healthy things for the rodents. And so it could as well be the effect of eating the yogurt and ending up with the same calories, of the same total amount of calories, but from healthier foods that made them leaner because they preferred the sugar-sweetened yogurt.
Now, this is what I'm talking about when I say that Adele reads the entire study and understands it, as opposed to the talking heads out there who just, you know, regurgitate something that they've been told. This is brilliant. So in other words, the effects were extrinsic because they didn't like the taste of the yogurt. They didn't eat as much of it. They were eating the chow more so.
Yeah, over the course of the study, they ate not even half of the amount of yogurt but sucrose eat. So
that's hilarious. Yeah. That's hilarious. Okay, so the takeaway from this is it doesn't look like artificial sweeteners play a role in themselves intrinsically in gaining fat.
Yeah, and this actually also confirms human studies where many of them actually did find a positive effect because it really helps people to attain their sweet tongue. And if you ask competitive bodybuilders, people who are competing in the fitness field, most of them will tell you that eating artificial sweetened foods helps them. And I think most of your listeners will also do so if they consume flavored whey or other products. And even the Quest bars, for example, they contain stevia. And I think nobody will say that stevia is bad for you. And you could even argue that by eating stevia, you can prevent developing diabetes, not just because you do not consume sugar, but because it actually appears to have a beneficial antioxidant effect specifically on the pancreas.
Yeah.
So in the end, it all comes down back to basics. And if the sweeteners can help you to get to switch to a healthier diet, this can really help you lose weight. If on another term, if those sweeteners are obviously bad for your health, like it appears to be for aspartame, maybe the case, then you should rather avoid them. But there are several alternatives out there.
Yeah. Okay, let's change the subject for a second. By the way, great. That was a great piece. That was very, very good. I like I said, I just can't get over it. When you really look at the study in depth, there's always other things that the publishers may not have intended to exclude, or maybe they intended to exclude it purposely. But anyway, okay. So let's talk about this form of fiber that is a prebiotic known as beta-glucan.
Yeah. Actually, the whole prebiotics, probiotics area is a hot topic in research, and we really do know that we can benefit, but we don't really know how to benefit. And it turns out that one very simple way appears to be just to follow what the fathers of physical culture have done for decades, that is eating oats. Because there's been a recent study showing that the beta glucans from oats, specifically from oats and not so much from other sources, they were really able to decrease or to ameliorate the weight gain in rodents fed an obesogenic diet. And the effect was more, at least this is what the scientists speculate and the data actually would support, was by an increase in total short chain fatty acids in the colonic digester. So the short-chain fatty acids are actually produced by the gut bacteria, and at the same time, the feeding of the gut bacteria produced a what we today believe is a more favorable composition of the gut microbiome. So by eating the right whole foods, and this is really part of a whole oat, you can actually feed your beneficial bacteria and have it do the job for you by producing the short-chain fatty acids in reasonable amounts and thus having beneficial signaling effects on your metabolism. And this can actually do what in the previous studies the scientists suspected could have happened due to the sweeteners, an increase in metabolism. So this could really help you to eat somewhat more, not really like double your intake daily and still lose weight, but somewhat more and especially healthy foods and still lose more weight. And this goes back to the effect of what you put in your mouth, or the effect of what you're eating. It's not restricted only to their caloric or their molecular composition, but also to the various downstream effects. Because the beta-glucans alone, they won't do anything. Only in conjunction with your gut bacteria, they will do the job. Because this is needed to convert them to short-chain fatty acids. And interestingly, we have lots of receptors which really detect what types of fatty acids we are consuming. And the one which cross-reacts with the short-chain fatty acid with the short-chain fatty acids is also implicated in an increase in the satiety hormones, and those have been found in turn to improve glucose and lipid metabolism.
Very good. Sorry. Yeah. So the bottom line is, it sounds like the go-to standard for a slow digesting carbohydrate of oatmeal is probably has other benefits that we never realized, and in as far as helping us get leaner.
Yeah, and in this particular study, they compared it to barley, which also contains beta-glucan, but did not perform just as well. It worked, but it did not work as well as oats. So the scientists did not really understand why this is the case, but I believe if you look at the molecular level, maybe the branching is slightly different, and this makes a difference. Or there are other nutrients which improve the effect. I'm not quite sure, but it was really an effect which showed after only 4 weeks pretty significantly, and after 6 weeks it was total clear that the group which received the oatmeal beta-glucan, they weighed roughly one-third less than the ones who did just receive the standard show without beta-glucan supplementation, or without the oats, I should say.
So there you go. So don't cut the oatmeal out yet. That's a good point right there. Because I haven't had oatmeal in a while, and I think I'm going to start eating it again. See? Things change. But
Or they don't.
Right. I was going to say, or they don't. People change. This is great. Okay, so we're talking with Adele Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup, where Adele puts the science and the news to the sniff test. As you can see, two great segments here. We've got a third one we're going to talk about when we come back. In the meantime, while you're listening to these spots, go to subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. We'll be right back. Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Get everything right and I want you
Welcome
to.
Welcome back.
Get everything right. I'm not playing.
Elisa Profumo just stuck her head in the studio and said, I'm adding oats back into my diet. Yay. I love oats. You know what? I haven't been eating a lot of oatmeal because I felt like, you know, it wasn't conducive to my desire to be lean, but I'm definitely adding it back as well because I love oatmeal. I love oatmeal with nothing on it, just plain oatmeal. I don't need any sweeteners. I don't need any. And if I do want to have a sweetener on it, One of the sweeteners that I've learned to love the flavor of that has a sulfury flavor is sorghum that I get from my farmer. And I think we're going to talk about sorghum now, right?
Yeah, and actually adding the sorghum is a perfect combination because scientists have just discovered that the phenolic compounds in sorghum, the tannins, actually decrease the starch digestibility, or at least they profoundly reduce the speed by which your body will digest it. And therefore you could turn a low GI oatmeal into an even lower GI oatmeal, of which you maybe do not even use all the starch that's in there.
Really?
So it would become even more conducive to your intention to get leaner if you consume them with the sorghum, as at least as long as the sorghum sweetener contains the same tannins or retains the same tannins. I'm not sure how it's processed. But what the scientists here from the Texas A&M University found was that it depends on the type of starch. And in fact, the application of the sorghum could turn a normal starch or into a resistant starch. So in fact, the starch was only broken down in the large intestine by the bacteria, not digested as it would usually be in the small intestine already, where you get all the insulin response and the fast influx of carbohydrates. And thus you could really expand on the increase in short-chain fatty acids by adding some sorghum sweetener to your oats and make it even more beneficial, at least in terms of feeding your healthy gut bacteria and having them produce short-chain fatty acids for you to signal and to also fuel your metabolism.
I can't wait for breakfast tomorrow morning. I'm going to have oatmeal with sorghum. Look, my farmer makes his own sorghum. For those of you who don't, have you ever tasted sorghum, Adele?
I don't know. Unfortunately not. I must admit that when I first wrote about sorghum in a very different context, I talked to you about in the break, that I really had to look up what it is, because obviously it's also not called the same in German. I forgot the German name again because I didn't know the German thing at all. But it's a sort of grass-like grain, or it's grain that grows on something that looks like a grass.
Well, it does. It's a long stalk with a bulb of what looks like, I don't know, I guess you call them beads at the end. And they boil it. They just boil it, and it releases this sap. And then they concentrate it and put it in jars. And it's a great replacement for honey. However, it has an interesting flavor. First of all, it's high in sulfur. And sulfur is supposed to be good for a lot of things. I don't know what, but I've heard that sulfur has antibacterial benefits, and sulfur helps the body, blah, blah, blah.
Glucose metabolism as well, and will increase your insulin sensitivity. Part of the effects of taurine also are ascribed to it being a sulfur acid or sulfur precursor, or containing sulfur, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, sorghum has a fantastic flavor. It's a good replacement for honey. It doesn't taste like honey. It's sweet, but it has a very I guess I would say musky flavor to it. It's very, very good. And I know what I'm having tomorrow with my eggs. I'm having oatmeal with sorghum in it. This sounds fantastic. And I can see, high protein. There's bars out there where people make their own bars at home using oatmeal and honey. Instead of using honey, use sorghum.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. And some protein powder. Okay. So two good interactions here with oatmeal and sorghum. Let's go on now to yet another food product, and that is, what is fermented tea? Is that just like any other tea? Do they ferment it? They age it?
Yeah, it's just the regular aging oxidation process. So green tea wouldn't be fermented tea, and the lightly fermented teas I'm not quite sure which one would be filed under this. I think white tea would be lightly fermented.
Right, and the dark and your black teas are very heavily fermented because they're aged.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Black tea would be the other extreme. And then you also have oolong tea, which is also a fermented type of tea. And this was actually in this study, or part of this study, they tested black tea and pu'er air tea and oolong tea.
Yeah, I like pu'er, actually. It's a very, very good tea.
Yeah, I like it too, but it's I think not everybody will enjoy the taste, I should say. It's it must grow onto you, I would at least that's my feeling, but maybe you feel different about it. What the scientists actually did was that they really investigated what the administration of those different teas would do to the skeletal muscle signaling pathways of mice. And what they found is pretty interesting, because all the teas had an effect on the GLUT4 translocation. That is, they increased the translocation, the expression of glucose transporters on the surface of the muscle. And this is basically, mechanistically speaking, the most important factor to be able to really suck up the glucose into the muscle. And this increase also went hand in hand with an increase in AMP kinase, which is actually the main mechanism by which the drug metformin also works.
Right.
It increases AMP kinase, and that in turn will increase the glucose uptake and will increase the fatty acid oxidation. And if we look at the actual data, we will see that the most potent one of these teas in terms of its effect on AMP kinase was actually the black tea. And it was closely followed by the pu'er tea, and the oolong tea came in third. But there is another interesting effect you would not really expect to be associated with that, because usually you don't really think of a protein kinase B, that is AKT, which is involved in the increase in protein synthesis, to be activated concomitantly with AMP kinase, because usually you think of AMP kinase and mTOR as being antagonistic, and mTOR obviously is on the same page as the AKT enzyme. But in this case, you see that all those T's also increase the expression of phosphorylated AKT, and again, here we have a slight advantage, at least for the black tea. And if we look at the fermentation process, this actually tells us that the longest fermentation process produces the most potent activator of GLUT4 transporter expression. And it also had, in a realistic glucose test, or realistic at least, that it was done in rodents, of course. But in this case, it produced the smallest spike in blood glucose, because the glucose was taken up fastest by the rodents who had received the black tea over the study period. So everybody is talking about green tea, but in this study it appears at least, of course green tea is not in it, but it appears that the more fermentation, the better or the greater is the effect, at least on skeletal muscle glucose uptake. And this is something I consider very important, because you do not want to increase the glucose uptake in every tissue. You do not want to increase it in fat cells, at least not if you are not if you don't have high blood sugar, but you want to increase it specifically in muscle. And it appears that, at least according to this study, those teas get the job done pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking at the two things we're going to talk about when we come out of the break. We've really saved the best for last. Two good subjects coming up. One of them, for those of you who either know of or have an autoimmune disorder, we're talking with Adele Moussa, author of Subversity, subversity.com, where all people go and come away smarter. Check it out. We'll be right back with more. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin. R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. As I'm joined by Adel Moussa, the brilliant Adel Moussa, who allows me to listen to him, and I feel smarter by the moment. You know, in fact, I was saying something off the air to Adel that I want to say on the air right now. Not only do we have guests on this show who enlighten us, teach us, help us, but we actually help them. There are more scientists who've come on this show who, after communing with myself and even Adel through email, are now changing the direction of their research. The one that comes to mind more recently, and I mentioned this during a previous interview a little while ago, is the guy who, the doctor who does the research about baby formula. Remember we shared with him about the omega-3s and the grass-fed cows, and he said, can you show me some research in this because I'd like to include this? And Adel was like, Johnny on the spot, here's this study. And he, remember how thankful he was? We changed the direction of his research.
Yeah, in a way we did. At least we we sparked a new interest. And this is actually what I see when we are on those conferences as scientists. The most important thing is really to communicate about your results and to get conflicting evidence and to discuss things with people, to be inspired, so to say, to go into different directions and to probe new things. But in the end, the one missing element here is still the financial aspect, because this is something we should also try to work on, to find a way to make financing those projects more interesting, and not just about when the baby has already fallen into the fallen out of the bathtub. I think
right.
That's
the idea. Yeah, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah.
Because currently we are always dealing with how can we cure sick people, but it would all be much easier when we just investigated how could we keep our people away from all diseases. And there's too little money spent on that, at least in my mind.
No, you're right. But the important takeaway from what I'm saying here is this. Recently, I've been asking people to vote every single day at the 8th Annual Podcast Awards at podcastawards.com for Superhuman Radio in the health and fitness section. And the one reason I say we are the best show out there, not because of me, not because of our guests, but because when our guests come on this show, they are influenced by the attitude of our audience. They come away smarter. We come away smarter. They come away asking different questions. We enlighten them. We are actually having some small effect on what they are planning. I wish I had a nickel for every time I asked a question of a guest and they came back and said, you know, that's really a good question. That might be something we need to look into. So
I think you could finance the first study from those nickels.
Yeah, there you go. Then we could finance the first study. So you know, remember, this show is not just about entertainment, which it is. It's not just about enlightenment, which it is. But it's about communing, where great minds come together to commune and have open discourse without saying, well, no, I have to be right. And, you know, because I hate that. I hate when somebody feels challenged that, oh, well, my opinion is right. My opinion is right. No, your opinion is not the only one. There's lots of opinions. But good scientists are not afraid to be told, hey, you should think about this. They go, that's this. And we get that on this show all the time. Okay, now, with that being said, let's move on to something really cool. So there's lots of discussion about autoimmune diseases out there, and you have discovered a study produced in Iran.
That's quite intriguing. That's really, really good research coming from Iran. And interestingly, they obviously have the money to finance studies in things you cannot patent, like milk thistle, for example, because all those studies in natural compounds are interesting ones, or at least many of those studies, and also many of the studies on exercise in healthy people, they come from Iran, from the universities in Iran.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They spend the money on this research. We don't. But be this as it may, this actually comes back to what we said before, that things don't really change, but we now understand with profound new research why people have been using certain compounds all along. And one of this is certainly milk thistle. I think the fathers of biblical culture have used milk thistle as they used oats, for example, and were confirmed that this would be a very healthy and a staple supplement. And what the researchers are reporting here actually suggests that it could also help with autoimmune diseases, because it puts the activated lymphocytes at rest, or it at least you could say it calms them down for the time being. It's not that it kills them, but it stops the cell cycle at the moment where they are just about to go rampant, and in some cases, and in increasingly more cases as of late, they are going to attack your own body. And the scientists are not yet sure how exactly milk thistle does this, and they are also not sure if just taking milk thistle in copious amounts orally, or they are not even suggesting this, that this would maybe help against multiple sclerosis or other autoimmune diseases. But they are pretty sure that if they understood the mechanism and they found ways to really locally, for example, also in subjects or in patients who have received a transplant, to use the same mechanism which appears to lack the cytotoxic the toxic effects many of those drugs people receive who have gotten a transplant or who are or who have an autoimmune disease, which really shut down your whole immune system. These side effects could maybe be evaded by using milk thistle, or in this case, of course, its active ingredient silymarin.
Now, what I found interesting was in the experiment that they did, they incubated these cells either in silymarin or dimethyl sulfoxide, or DMSO. Is DMSO considered an inactive medium?
Interesting. This is the control medium, yeah.
Yeah, that's a I don't know why they would use DMSO. Why not just, I don't know, water or something?
I think that in water you always have the problem of
hydrolysis.
So I'm not the exact expert to ask about those intricate questions.
Yeah.
But I've read numerous times that they use DMSO as a control. So it's often also used in injections in some cases, and especially in those in vitro studies.
Interesting.
And you see this just in the in vitro stage. And so it's not really, on the one hand, you don't have to develop a drug, or it is not really likely that we will have to develop a drug, but the exact mechanism by which it works is not really understood. But we already know that silymarin has also anti-carcinogenic and anti-inflammatory effects, and it is also known to help the liver regenerate. So it appears only logical that it could lead your own immune system back on track, so to say. And if you sum up those effects, you actually have the ailments of the modern society, or at least some of them, all being prevented or maybe ameliorated at least by one compound, and it's a natural compound.
Yeah. Okay, next topic is really important for women out there, especially peri- and premenopausal women who are thinking about HRT indirectly. And I interestingly enough, this is produced by University of Louisville, right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Talk about DHEA and estrogen receptors.
Yeah, they the scientists from Louisville, they wanted to come to really investigate the mechanism due to which the increase in breast cancer risk in postmenopausal women with high DHEA levels could come about. And this is actually what I'm always referring to. You see those associations in an epidemiological study, and the next thing is that you have an hypothesis for a follow-up study.
Right.
And this is actually one of those follow-up studies which is now looking at, is it possible that having high DHEA levels mechanistically increases the risk for breast cancer? And what is also interesting about the study is that they did not just test DHEA, but they also tested several of its metabolites. And they found that all of them, including 7-oxo, which has long been touted as a potent and also non-hormonal in the sense that it does not exert any other hormonal effects.
But it's supposed to be a potent thermogenic. Is that what you said?
A thermogenic and a cortisol blocker.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And 7-oxo included and other metabolites of DHEA, they exert distinct effects on the estrogen receptor, and they tested that in kidney where you have estrogen alpha receptors, and they tested it also in hepatic cells where they have estrogen beta receptors. And the results clearly suggest that in both of those tissues they activated, at least the beta receptor was activated by all compounds and pretty profoundly. Now, what's intriguing about this is that estrogen plays an important role in the oxidative process in the liver. So in the end, you could say that 7-oxo could actually work because it is an estrogen,
right,
or it works as an estrogen. So this must not be negative. But what certainly is negative is, and this was the main part of the study, that the same compounds also increased the proliferation of breast cancer cells. So at least if you have already breast cancer, and also I suppose it will also predispose to developing breast cancer, it does not really appear to be a good idea to supplement with DHEA, especially if you don't need it to bring your level back up to the normal range. And I doubt that this is really necessary in almost every person, as some people seem to believe. And so you have to look at the specific tissue and at the specific effects. And the main important, the most important message of this study is that it actually does not only activate the estrogen beta receptor within the breast cancer tissue, but it also increases the proliferation. And this is an important difference you have to keep in mind when you're reading those studies, because you could also say that a serum like Tuximethin or what's it, the brand name? Novaldex.
Oh, Novaldex. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it also docks to the estrogen receptor, but it does not do anything there. So they always have to see what actually happens in the following. And in this case, it increased proliferation, but it means it increased the growth of the cancer. And this is clear evidence that this epidemiological study pointed to an association which was not just coincidental, but which has a mechanistic background. And I would love to see all those things we take for granted just based on epidemiological studies being investigated or being done follow-up investigations which really check whether there is a mechanistic connection or not. And on the subversity, I always use your great example of the fire trucks. Because you could argue both. Fire trucks are associated with great survival in flames of people, and you could also associate fire trucks with hundreds and thousands of deaths. It depends on the perspective, and nothing of this is really a determined mechanism.
What about men? Is there any takeaway from this research for men who supplement with DHEA? It was long thought that DHEA metabolized to a greater degree of estrogen in men and a greater degree of testosterone in women, but perhaps that's not the case at all. Perhaps it doesn't metabolize any differently in men and women. However, men are more sensitive to these estrogenic effects of its metabolites than women are, because we have such low estrogen levels to begin with.
No, that can't be the case, because in those studies they actually found the estrogen levels to be higher. But what should be said is if a DHEA molecule docks to the estrogen receptor, and this is also partly a result of the study that they compete with quote-unquote real estrogen for the receptors. So if you did the math and actually estimated the effect size, you could maybe find out that, for example, if you have a DHEA metabolite like, for example, Ardione or RDO docked to the receptor, and instead of E2, that is estradiol,
right,
this wouldn't be beneficial. You could even, maybe you find that this increases only fatty acid oxidation without the negative side effects. So we actually know very little. And as of late, people who've read on one of the latest subversity posts will be aware that we are only at the verge of understanding what SHGB actually does. For example, in some cases for the growth of breast cancer, you will have to have SHBG and estrogen bind to their respective receptors. There is an SHBG receptor, a receptor for a molecule of which most people still believe that it's just a passive carrier for androgens and estrogens in the bloodstream, but there is a distinct receptor for this so-called transporter on many tissues, and it plays an important role in the mediation of the effects not only of estrogens but also of DHT and other androgens. So we actually believe we know it all, but we know very little about this.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because back in 2008, I did a show with Dr. Paul Godley, and he wrote a position paper on behalf of the Journal of the American Cancer Society, saying that androgens, DHEA, DHT, testosterone, androgens had no implication in prostate cancer. At the end of the interview, I said, did you find any correlation between any hormone and the prevalence of prostate cancer? He says, yeah, we found the connection between SHBG, elevated SHBG, and elevated levels of prostate cancer. But then he dismissed it and said that elevated sex hormone binding globulin occurs with higher estrogen levels. So, you know, again, there is a linkage between estrogen, but who knows? Maybe it's just the SHBG. And I'll tell you something else, Adele, since you're doing research on SHBG. I read an obscure study probably 6 months ago, and I can't find it now. Maybe it was more like 8 months ago, because I'm not quite as organized as you, and I know you're very organized, that implicated SHBG and the type of snoring that leads to obstructive sleep apnea. And I thought, what the hell does SHBG have to do with the muscle in the roof of the throat?
Well, there's also an intriguing connection with high SHBG level and a certain protection against diabetes, at least in women. And it appears that in women there are more beneficial effects. Well, in men, for example, one of the natural treatments of benign prostate hyperplasia is nettle root, which reduces SHBG. And this is something I came about when I did that research, is that that it could be that the absence of the lower SHBG levels actually are causative or reduce the proliferation of the prostate even in the presence of pro-proliferative molecules like DHT, because just as I said previously about estrogen, DHT has also been found to interact with SHBG, not only in the transportation through the bloodstream, but also in its interaction with the receptors and its downstream effects. And this is a perfect example of how little we actually know and how much we take for granted. For example, that once a molecule binds to SHBG, that it is inactive and cannot do anything, is something you hear many people still say. But at the same time, there are obviously some receptors which take the SHBG molecule and seem to sense what's on the other end of it and then react to it, to that. So this is also not really that sure as we have believed for years or even decades.
Wow. Wow. We've come to the end of the show. There are other things that we had hoped to cover. And I know that Adele, in the true Subversity form, will put that up on the Subversity Science Roundup Seconds. That will occur tomorrow, correct, Adele?
Correct. And for those people who listen to the podcast later on, they can find all those archived also.
Yeah,
if they you can just Google it, or if you want to.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, visit Subversity every day and vote for Superhuman Radio in the 8th Annual Podcast Awards. By the way, we have a sneaky trick going on. If you just visit superhumanradio.com every day, a little pop-up will appear reminding you to vote for us. And so we can get more people enlisted into the superhuman nation and maybe change the world without politicians. How about that one? That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? Adele, thank you for all the hard work that you put into this show.
I'm grateful that people are still willing to listen.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be breaking some news in a week or two about the downloads. Subversity is one of the popular shows. It really is. I mean, it's amazing. So, very, very cool. Thursdays has become a very, very popular day for the radio show. All right, talk to you soon, Adele.
Yeah, bye.
Also want to thank, Dr. Lansdowne from the UK for coming on and talking about silver in medicine. And, of course, Dr. Nigam for coming on and talking about how a single fast food meal can destroy your arteries. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, Casual Friday. I'll be joined by Elisa Profumo. Thank you for listening.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Never before have